Hey, welcome to Intentional Living, live from our Intentional Living Center today. I have two very special guests in the studio with me. They're going to share their story about being a mom and a dad to two precious young people. And one of those, their daughter, Abby, now 20, is a child with special needs, profoundly disabled. And we wanted to spend today and tomorrow just encouraging parents, those of you, maybe your grandparents, those of you that are caring for a child that has special needs, as we hear their story in just a moment. I'm Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Stephen, and Alex is here today, and Gino. We got a host of team behind the window, and we're going to have a good time together. And I'll open the phone lines. If you'd like to join in, maybe with a question, or you have a comment, or your own story, Stephen will talk to you at 888-888-1717. So, Mike and Becky Kankel-Fritz, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What a treat.
Yeah, we recognize that voice right there. You know, that's
Wonderful.
That's Kankel-Fritz in the morning, you know, Kank and Friends in the morning on Family Life Radio. And many of you, I'm sure, enjoy the music and enjoy the, I do, I enjoy turning on the radio every morning. You inspire me.
Wow, and, Dr. Randy, thank you.
You wake me up and it's a great time.
But so you listen to the show despite me, is what you're saying.
But many may not know your backstory.
Yeah.
For you and Becky.
Right.
How long you guys been married now?
Almost 25 years.
25 years next month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us about Abby and Sam.
Abby is 20 years old. She's diagnosed with multiple disabilities. She's diagnosed as profoundly deaf. She has a cochlear implant, so she can hear now. When it stays on her head.
Right. She likes to flip it off.
Yeah, it falls off a lot.
Yeah.
She also has a heart condition that's been mostly healed.
Yeah.
She is in a wheelchair. She's non-ambulatory. She...
nonverbal.
Nonverbal. She also has a visual impairment.
She does, yes.
What else? I think
she eats via a G-tube.
Yep.
And she just needs total care.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Becky, this began on day one.
Day one.
Of birth. What happened?
Yes. Well, a week before she was born, I had gone in. I had pretty serious preeclampsia, and I had gone in for an ultrasound. They had a hard time finding the umbilical cord, but they told me everything was fine, sent me home for kind of modified bed rest for a week. And during that week, she stopped moving. I called my doctor. They sent me to the ER. I was immediately taken up to labor and delivery. They put a heart rate monitor on her. She was dying. And so there was an immediate C-section, like under general anesthesia, like immediate. There was a lot of drama involved, though. It was very traumatic. There was a lot of yelling between nurses and doctors, and it was very traumatic. And then she was born, and then she was very quickly sent to, we were in Michigan at the time, she was born in Holland, Michigan. She was very quickly sent by ambulance to Grand Rapids, and from then on, our journey started.
Mm. Well, so, what were you doing during all this time? Mike, what were you learning? I mean, what's going on as a dad trying to fix problems that maybe you didn't understand at the time would be so profound?
Well, I mean, I think we were all in shock.
Yes.
You know, when all of this went down. In fact, to the degree, Dr. Randy, that when Abby was born, at first they said, hey, you have a very healthy daughter because she was full of fluid. And what's the diagnosis of that? I forgot what it's called.
She had high drops.
High drops. And it's caused from lack of oxygen, I believe.
Yes.
And so all I know is they put Becky in one room for the emergency C-section. I'm in another room just waiting. And I see the doctors and nurses running down the hall with what I assumed was our daughter. It was like, boom. It was so fast. And immediately they came back and said, your daughter's healthy. And then he went away and came back about 5 minutes later and says, I was completely wrong. She's not healthy at all, and we need to transfer to another hospital. So I have a wife in one hospital, our daughter's in another hospital way across town, and this all happened in Grand Rapids, Michigan, by the way. And I show up and I listen to the doctor pulls me off into a side room with a nurse to break the news of what's going on with our daughter. And they actually have written down in their notes that the husband doesn't clearly understand what's happening here. They didn't think I understood how serious the situation was. But partly that's because I was really believing for healing and wholeness and was not going to accept what was being told to me, you know. But I would say just through this whole process of over 35 days of her being in the hospital, Dr. Randy was this touch and go of, is your daughter going to make it? Is she not? They would give us phone calls. You need to get to the hospital now.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, one of us was always there anyway. I don't know. I think we were more in shock than anything. And then, by the way, when I guess if your child has enough issues or it's in the NICU for a certain amount of time, they give your child a hearing test before they discharge you. And then they told us that our daughter was profoundly deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another bad news and dropped on you.
That's all we really knew when we left the NICU. We knew she was deaf, but we didn't know everything else that we were going to be facing.
No.
And that she got diagnosis after diagnosis after diagnosis over the course of a couple of years. And those were really hard years. Just every time we went to a doctor, it felt like we were getting bad news. Well, it didn't feel like we were getting bad news every time we saw a new specialist. And it was really hard. That went on for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And now 20 years later, Abby's here. She's here in the building.
Yeah,
she
in your
is.
Office
and she's happy. And
she's a pretty happy kid.
She's great.
Physically demanding.
Physically
take care
demanding.
Of her,
yes.
But you know, for the most part, she's got a good disposition. She just gets sick a lot.
We love
know?
Her so much. She's so fun.
I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Love to have you join in. Maybe you have a question for Mike or Becky, or maybe just your own story of what God has taught you through this process of having a child with special needs. You can call 888-888-1717. We hear the rest of the story. We want to hear about your son, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, here's a... Later, here comes this precious little boy, what you were thinking, what maybe the fears that may be associated with a second pregnancy, about your marriage, the impact in your relationship with God. You know, as Christians, we pray for healing, and sometimes it comes and sometimes it doesn't. We're going to get to all that and your calls in just a minute.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Do you ever feel like all hope is lost? Maybe it's bad news from the doctor, a relationship issue, or just a bad day. In part one of Dr. Randy's message, How to Experience Hope, he gives you four ways the Bible says we can experience hope. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. And when you give right now, we're offering you a copy of the book, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. To receive this month's special offer and the book, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And I hope you'll do that. That was a hand-picked book myself. It's a classic, you know, Experiencing God. I thought many of you, maybe you have read it. This would be a copy you could share with others. Maybe you haven't. You should. Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God, our gift to you, along with the resources from Intentional Living when you join us today. Go to theintentionallife.com. Or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Press number 2 and the magic occurs. You'll end up talking to one of our staff. They're friendly today. They're friendly people today.
Yesterday
right?
They weren't, but today.
Today they're friendly. That's it. There you go. Hello. Mike and Becky Kankel-Fritz are here. You hear Mike in the morning, Kankel-Fritz and friends on Family Life Radio. Many of you enjoy what he and the rest of the team do. And I invited Mike and Becky to come and share their story about their family, about Abby, and we're going to hear about Sam in a moment. Abby's 20, Sam is 14. I just talked to them. They're both upstairs, had a chance to say hi. But before we do, we got a caller we're going to get to from Kansas. We have, let me see, Christine. How you doing, Christine?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Appreciate your call. Go right ahead. How do you relate to this today?
Well, I am a just retired 3 weeks ago special education teacher, but more than a special education teacher, I recently lost my sister at age 62. She had Down syndrome, and I've been her legal guardian, and she lived with me from the time I was 23 years of age. And I just really want to encourage others, encourage the church, that we need to rise up and help individuals whom we see at Walmart, we see at the grocery store, wherever we see a person who maybe has a member of their family or someone with them with disabilities, buy their groceries. Help them if you have $20 to put in towards their groceries or towards whatever they're purchasing, because they will not ask for help. I asked for help, and it depends on your financial situation. Sometimes there are a lot of us in that situation that you just don't meet the financial status because you're just above it. My sister received $130, too much money on Social Security benefits to receive help. And so it was always month to month, me as a teacher, it was always a tough go. But I always knew that there was always somebody else out there in worse state or worse, in a worse situation than we were in. We always had food on the table. But it would have been nice if somebody had stepped up and just paid our bill without me asking. And it's not a pride issue. It's just a matter of you feel as if there's somebody else in a worse condition or worse situation. And so I just really want to encourage people to be blessings. I mean, it would speak volumes of Christians if we were to help one another out in those situations without being asked.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing that people may not realize is that it's very expensive to take care of special needs children, somebody that's has disabilities, because a lot of it's not covered by your insurance. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of extra that goes on. So I agree with what she's saying.
Thank you, Christine, for that reminder. How do you feel you're treated when you're out and about with Abby? And
in general, I feel like we're treated well. I mean, people are usually lovely to Abby. She's she smiles at people and she likes going places. And in general, don't you agree? People are really lovely to Abby.
Yeah. The only thing that I would say that sometimes would bother me, not so much Becky.
Yeah.
Is when you can tell when a child has not been taught about other
special needs. Oh, yeah, that doesn't bother me at all.
No, because you'll be in a restaurant, and you got a bunch of stares at your kid.
It doesn't bother me.
And Becky's like totally fine with it. I'm like, hey, quit staring at my daughter.
Here's a brochure.
Exactly.
A brochure, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But that's just, that just says to me, they just don't understand.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's just a different situation that they're checking out.
You know, one of the things that I've read about and seen in working with people that have a child with special needs is the impact it has on the family. Frankly, most marriages don't survive.
That's right.
I mean, let's just lay it out. I mean, marriage is tough as it is, but then you put this kind of a challenge. A lot of marriages don't survive. What about you guys? What have you done to make your marriage thrive and survive in the challenges you face?
I don't know.
I always joke that, well, because I had to quit working when Abby was born because there's no daycare for a child like Abby. So I gave up my career, and Mike has been picking up the slack there. So I always just joke that, like, I need him and he needs me. So
there is 100% truth to that. If one of us were to leave the situation, We would be sunk. So, but you're right. I think it says an 85 percentile.
Yeah, it's very high.
Of divorce rate for special needs. And that's because one of them does decide to cut and run, which is a selfish thing to do, of course. But it's hard. It really is.
But, you know, one thing I've said to Michael is, Michael and I have a history. We've been through things that nobody else would understand. And he knows what I've been through, and I know what he's been through. And that alone, I think, has strengthened our marriage because we've just been through so much together, stuff that other people couldn't understand, not like we do. So,
Interesting. Let's get a comment here. Julia wants to join us in Arizona. Hi there. Go right ahead. What's your comment?
Hi, Dr. Randy. I was just trying to say thank you guys for what you do. It's like you said, working with special needs kids is a lot. It's a lot hard, and I don't think a lot of people really understand that. I'm a CNA. I'm currently going to school to get my nursing, so I work with special needs sometimes, and you know, it's a challenging, especially on the family, and a lot of people don't understand that. I also was going to ask, how do you guys do it to keep your marriage together for so long, working together? You know, like, you guys work together every day and stuff like that to keep everything together. I'm not saying that it's probably not always smooth sailing, but, yeah, you guys really do make my mornings.
Oh, morning. Thank
I
you.
Appreciate it. I really do appreciate this radio station. Going through a separation, I mumble on the radio station, and that has been what has been helping me through the whole thing.
Isn't that good? Now, that should encourage you, Mike.
Yeah.
That should encourage you.
It is encouraging.
You know, which thank you, Julia. I'm glad you're listening. And we hear that often. You know, we talk about experience hope on the radio. And as I teach, you know, there's plenty of hope to go, but experiencing it is an option. And we want to help you actually experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do what we do. And I guess that raises a question. With the challenges you face as a dad, a leader here at the ministry, I mean, you're running all the broadcast operations and everything going on behind the scenes, not just on the air as a great host in the morning, but you must have some days you come in and don't feel like you're ready to do what you need to do. How do you keep the balance between being up, being encouraging on the air, mm-hmm. doing ministry, and then knowing you're going to go home and maybe have a daughter that's unusually ill that night and some challenges? How do you take care of yourself, Mike?
You know, I don't as much as I should.
True.
Thank you. You know, maybe I'm probably neglect myself more than I should. You know, physically, I you know, being a father of a special needs daughter, I don't think I've lifted her the way I should all the time. Like, I've got really bad lower back issues, very little space between L5 and S1, and so I've got chronic pain. It's worse in the evening as the day progresses. So I am actually entering a stage in my life where I got some bad news medically, and I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to have to become a health nut to turn this around and really start to take care of myself. But I think that most special needs parents can probably relate. You're putting your kids first,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm putting them above me and my body, but you do have to take care of yourself, and you do need to learn how to properly lift your children. And because she's now over 100 pounds, she's not getting any lighter.
Yeah,
we do have some equipment that helps us a little bit, but you can really hurt yourself. You can really, you know. And then there's the whole mental aspect of it all. You know, there's a lot of being a parent of a special needs kid. I think there is a built-in guilt that's there. Because you're constantly thinking, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
And you're never doing enough.
Never. Mm-mm. I mean, we could take her all over the world for this specialist or that specialist. And in the beginning, you know, spiritually, in our, you know, when Abby was diagnosed and everything, we were taking her to different meetings to get her prayed over. We were traveling all over to do that. And, you know.
And going to multiple hours of therapy,
mm-hmm.
physical and occupational therapy and speech therapy for her. Every week, probably like 6 hours a week. We did that for years and years and years and years on top of everything else. And, you know, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take time to, for me, friendship is really important. Having girlfriends that I can hang out with.
That's good.
Or talk to. And us taking time as a family to just relax. That helps a lot too.
Tell you what, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. I want to hear about Sam. Six years later.
Yes.
You're pregnant with a little boy.
I was.
I wonder what you're experiencing going through that. And Sam's upstairs. And we'll like to hear a little bit about how do you see him reacting? How's this changed the dynamic of how you all view life, I guess, as a family? So we'll get to that in a moment. And your calls, I'll tell you what, we're going to run out of time in about 10 minutes. But we're going to stay here afterward and just record for tomorrow. So if you want to join in, you want to join in with a question or comment, maybe you have a child with a special need. And you want to share your story, give us a call or comment at 888-888-888-888. 1717. We have Mike and Becky Kankelfritz here, and you say, I recognize that voice. That's Kankelfritz in the morning, as you hear him on Family Life Radio. But the backstory is he's got a real life, too, and family and a challenge, and we're hearing that today. So let's take that break, Jennifer, and we'll be right back. So here's the question. What is hope? Let's just get down. This lesson is intended for all of you here on staff and for our members to really think about this message of hope, because this is what we're communicating. How do we communicate hope? First of all, we've got to know what hope is. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised in His strength and in His faithfulness. In other words, our hope is not in ourselves. It's not like I hope for a pizza, I hope for a new car, I hope for this or that, but our confidence is in Christ. It's the promises of Christ. And you can receive the teaching this month from Intentional Living, Experience Hope, Part 1, Part 2 next month as you join us. And of course, we have that powerful book, classic, by Henry Blackaby on experiencing God, our gift to you. And you join us here at Intentional Living at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Mike and Becky Kankelfritz here. They have Abby, 20 years old, profoundly disabled. She's here. Just said hi to her upstairs. And Sam's there kind of over taking care of her, I think,
yep.
A little bit.
Just
yep.
Observing,
and
yes.
He's 14.
Yes.
And is that kind of the way it goes? How's Sam affected by all this as he's been growing up as a young man now?
You know, I don't know, maybe you can chime in here, Becky. He seems at times unfazed, but I think that maybe is something that he's putting off on us.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of really get out of him his thoughts sometimes. I mean, he's a teenager.
He's a teenage boy.
Yeah. Yes. Is he protective?
He's protective. I would say, bragging on him a bit, the thing that I think that I've seen the most is he's a really empathetic kid.
Yeah, he is.
He's really in tune with making sure people are okay. And I think that's part of being Abby's brother. He just has a lot of empathy for a young man.
I would also say that because of her, he does view disabilities differently, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
things are normal.
Yeah,
it's
they're normal, they're not abnormal. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a caring spirit towards that
yes.
that probably wouldn't be there. The other thing that's, you know, when people are at our house and like Abby has a feeding pump, like Becky said earlier, if it goes off, he's Johnny in the spot to take care of everything. He'll run right over there.
Well, it's kind of a game in our family to turn it off first.
But visitors, our guests are always like, wow, your kid really takes care of your daughter. Well, I didn't think about that. He just does.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just normal.
Boy, I got so many questions. Looking forward to the next half hour to ask you about some of the obvious questions may be a little difficult to address, but what about the future?
Mm.
You know, the needs and thinking that through.
Yeah.
I want to get Faye on the line, though. She's been waiting with a call from Michigan. Hi, Faye. How are you today?
Don, how are you?
Good. Go right ahead.
Well, I have a daughter. Well, I had a daughter by the name of Efwa, and she was born with sickle cell disease. We found out, well, she was diagnosed at 9 months when she had her first sickle cell crisis. We didn't know at the time that she had another disease called metatrophic dysplasia. And I can empathize or even sympathize with what you're going through because I spent most of her life in and out of the hospital. And I also ended up pregnant with another child who was diagnosed with sickle cell disease, but she didn't have metatrophic dysplasia. So even though she was going in and out of the hospital too, but most of their young life, I lived in the hospital. I would get out for 2 weeks and go back in. But my daughter, Efwa, they kept telling me by the time she was 8, she was going to pass. So I went from 8 to 18, from 18 to 21, and they kept preparing me for her death. And I'm in ministry, too. So God was preparing me for her life, and she did that. She lived. She went away to college, out of state, and I was having fits because her leaving home And knowing that she could get sick at any minute, I just had to trust God, and it was hard. But she went away to college, finished her degree, was in on her way to law school, ended up sick. And when she got sick, and I got there to see about her, but somehow the medication she got wasn't good for her. And they couldn't turn it around.
Oh, so sorry.
But the thing about it is, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said, you never acted as if you expected her to die.
Wow, that's wonderful.
How do you relate to that? As you look at Abby and her, what did the doctors have said about her life expectancy?
You know, doctors really haven't said much about that. We do know that people with cerebral palsy typically don't live as long, but
yes,
I don't.
No one's really given us a real life expectancy, but we've always just, I don't know that we've always had that same perspective because we haven't been told that, but we've always just assumed that Abby can go and do the things that we're all going to go do. I mean, there's limitations, of course,
right,
but we go all the places, you know, and we've always just been like, this is... It's a lot more work, but it is. You know,
and the care you've given to her, I'm sure has made a big difference in her health being
so.
Here today.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I think undoubtedly. Yeah. I tell you what, I just got a sign from Jennifer saying we're done. We're running out of time here, but we're going to continue on. We got some callers who want to talk to you, and we invite you to join us as well as we go off the air. If you have a comment, you have a question, have a story, give us a call, 888-888-1717. We'd love to have you join in, and that'll be on the air tomorrow. But I want to thank Mike and Becky. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you.
Sure,
appreciate
thanks
it.
For having us.
I got so many questions. I want to talk about how this impacts your relationship with Christ. What about the future? You know, what kind of planning have you done? What about extended family? What the churches are doing or not doing? What's been your experience in the various churches? And the impact we didn't get to as much as we'd like to, just the impact in terms of how the two of you continue to seek each other and trust God through this. And we'll get to that as well. I'm Dr. Randy today, talking to parents and encouraging parents with a child or children with special needs. And we'll be back with Mike and Becky tomorrow to finish more of their story. Love to have you be a part of it. Invite others to join you as well. You can call 888-888-1717. We'll see you tomorrow.